following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
The history of the world has produced wars, suffering, and bloodshed. Will there ever be lasting world peace? Millions today are also dying from starvation, disease, floods, drought, and earthquakes. Has the Creator, God, left us to destruction? Is there any hope for the future? What does Bible prophecy say? Can God actually control the future? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, does God control the future? And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. The 20th century saw the advent of the nuclear age. Five major nations armed themselves with nuclear weapons and even exploded hydrogen bombs. The United States, the former Soviet Union, Great Britain, France, and China. Three others, India, Israel, and Pakistan, have also exploded nuclear devices or claimed to be able to produce them. During the Cold War between the Communist bloc and the democratic Western nations, the United States and the Soviet Union targeted nuclear missiles at each other's major cities and defenses. Each nuclear power could destroy the other multiple times over. This military policy was called Mutually Assured Destruction, or MAD, MAD. The idea was that if a nation attacked first, retaliation and its nuclear destruction was assured. In the 21st century, we face not only the dangers of regional nuclear wars, but nuclear attacks by terrorists and rogue nations. Tom Clancy's novel, The Sum of All Fears, depicts such a scenario. Terrorists detonate nuclear bombs in Chechnya, and then later near Baltimore, in an attempt to start World War III between the United States and Russia. The movie version was released in 2002. But the dangers are very real and not just unrealistic fiction. The CBS television program 60 Minutes quoted former Russian National Security Advisor Alexander Lebed saying that, quote, the Russian military had lost track of more than 100 suitcase-sized nuclear bombs, any one of which could kill up to 100,000 people. Lebed stated, more than 100 weapons out of the supposed number of 250 are not under the control of the armed forces of Russia. I don't know their location. I don't know whether they have been destroyed or whether they are stored or whether they've been sold or stolen. I don't know. End of quote. All these dangers beg the question, will God allow these weapons of terror to explode in our cities? As we've pointed out on previous programs, unless we nationally and individually reform our ways of living, God will use other nations to punish and afflict us for our own good. When we read our daily newspapers and see television news reports, we wonder if there will ever be lasting peace on earth. Many ask, if God is so powerful, why doesn't he stop all the violence, war, terrorism, and environmental upheaval? We'll answer that question later in the program. We also need to ask the question, is God really in control? Is God able to control the future? What does Bible prophecy reveal? My friends, Bible prophecy reveals that there is hope for the future and that the Creator God will intervene powerfully in world affairs and he'll actually force international peace on the nations. That is good news, and your own Bible reveals it. In fact, this exciting new free booklet will give you prophetic information you need. It's titled, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. Be sure to call or write for your free copy. To answer the question, is God really in control? Let's first review a couple important prophecies from last week's program. There are generally two types of prophecy, unconditional prophecy and conditional prophecy. The mysterious image of Daniel, the second chapter, is an example of unconditional prophecy. Another such example is Isaiah's prophecy concerning the Persian king Cyrus. Jonah's prophecy concerning the ancient Assyrian capital of Nineveh is an example of conditional prophecy. God used the prophet Daniel to reveal a classic example of unconditional prophecy. If you have your Bible, turn to Daniel, the second chapter. Only Daniel, with God's revelation, was able to reveal and interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel explained that the king had seen a mysterious image, the head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and feet of iron mixed with clay. The head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel told the king in Daniel 2 and verse 38, "You are this head of gold." The rest of the image foretold future kingdoms. Let's read their description. Daniel 2 and verse 39. "But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay." Reputable Bible scholars and historians agree on the identity of these empires. The Babylonian Empire ruled from 625 to 539 BC. After Babylon came the Medo-Persian Empire from 558 to 330 BC. The Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great from 333 to 31 BC. And the Roman Empire from 31 BC to 476 AD. Finally, the 10 toes of iron mixed with clay represent a future revival of the Roman Empire. The prophecies of Daniel are genuine, and the predictions of these four kingdoms did come to pass. As many of our regular viewers already know, we can rely on Bible prophecy. Now, another example of unconditional prophecy concerns the fall of Babylon. Babylon was the greatest empire of its time. Bible prophecy predicted this great power would punish other nations as a judgment from God. And then Babylon itself was to be judged for its sinfulness. But how was Babylon to be overthrown? Over 100 years before the downfall of this great empire, the prophet Isaiah actually named the individual who would be responsible for Babylon's fall and the individual who would help the exiled Jews return to Jerusalem. Let's read it here in Isaiah 44, verse 28. God says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, 'You shall be built,' and to the temple, 'Your foundation shall be laid.'" Cyrus was king over the Persians from about 550 BC to 529 BC. So Isaiah is prophesying in the 8th century BC about a king who wasn't even born until the 6th century BC. But that's not all. Not only did Isaiah predict a man named Cyrus would help deliver the Jews from their future Babylonian captivity, but Isaiah also predicted how Cyrus would enter Babylon to conquer it. It's an amazing story. Turn to Isaiah 45 and verse 1. We saw in the previous verse the role of Cyrus in permitting the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Now God proclaims he will use Cyrus to enter Babylon in a special way. Isaiah 45, verse 1. "Thus says the Eternal to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, or the two-leaved gates, as it is in the King James Version, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Eternal, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel." My friends, the God of the Bible designated this historic king by name, even before he was born. This king would help the exiled Jews to return to Jerusalem. And this king would subdue nations, as the prophet Isaiah predicted. In 539 BC, Cyrus' army advanced on Babylon. Remember, the prophet Isaiah said that God would open before him the double doors. The reference to the double doors indicated how God opened the way for Cyrus' army to capture the city. The city of Babylon appeared impregnable with its massive walls and defenses, and the city had supplies that could outlast a 20-year siege. So the Babylonians just laughed at Cyrus' army when they came to attack the city. So how did God give the great city of Babylon into the hands of Cyrus and the Persian army? We'll answer that question in the next part of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you this exciting free booklet on Bible prophecy, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. This free booklet will help you in your study of Bible prophecy and give you the historic proof of God's intervention in world history. You need this booklet. You need to know what God has planned for the future of the world and how He will bring it about. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of How God Intervenes in World Affairs. Just ask for the booklet on God's intervention.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
As we saw in the first part of our program, the prophet Isaiah predicted that a future king would help the captive Jews of Babylon return to Jerusalem. God, through Isaiah, revealed this king by name over 100 years before he was born. That Persian king was Cyrus. Isaiah also predicted in Isaiah 45, verse 1, that Cyrus would subdue nations before him. That included Babylon. Now, how could Cyrus and his armies subdue this seemingly impregnable city? The river Euphrates passed through the middle of Babylon under the massive gates in the wall. Cyrus used an ingenious method to circumvent this obstacle. Some of his men dug channels upstream to divert the flow of the river. The Greek historian Herodotus wrote the following account. Cyrus and his non-combatant troops, quote, so greatly reduced the depth of the water in the actual bed of the river that it became fordable. And the Persian army, which had been left at Babylon for the purpose, entered the river, now only deep enough to reach about the middle of a man's thigh, and making their way along it, got into the town. If the Babylonians had learnt what Cyrus was doing or had seen it for themselves in time, they could have let the Persians enter, and then, by shutting all the gates which led to the waterside and manning the walls on either side of the river, they could have caught them in a trap and wiped them out. But as it was, they were taken by surprise. The Babylonians themselves say that owing to the great size of the city, the outskirts were captured without the people in the center knowing anything about it. There was a festival going on, and they continued to dance and enjoy themselves until they learned the news the hard way. That, then, is the story of the first capture of Babylon. End of quote. According to Herodotus, a secular source, the overthrow of Babylon occurred just as the prophet Isaiah had described. Other secular sources, such as Xenophon's Cyropedia, also support this account. God prophesied the conqueror of Babylon by name over a century before he was born. History confirms the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The prophet Daniel was in the city of Babylon the night the Persian army of Cyrus conquered the city. And through the prophet Daniel, God also let the Babylonian king Belshazzar know what would happen to him and the empire. That's the famous story of the handwriting on the wall. You can read about that event in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. King Belshazzar prepared a feast, a great party for his thousands of nobles. They drank wine out of the plundered golden vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. Daniel 5 and verse 5. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. The prophet Daniel was called upon to interpret this saying. A mysterious hand had written a message on the wall, Daniel 5 and verse 25. And this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Daniel then told King Belshazzar, verse 26, this is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then verse 30, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The kingdom of the Medes and Persians now replaced the kingdom of Babylon, just as God had predicted 100 years earlier. My friends, the prophecies of the Bible are absolutely sure. The Creator God fulfilled these prophecies in every detail, and history confirms it. Yes, God can actually control the future, and He will control the future. Is there also evidence of fulfilled prophecy in New Testament times? Yes, there is. The Apostle Peter witnessed the fulfillment of prophecy when he lived alongside the prophesied Messiah, Jesus Christ. He witnessed the death of the Messiah and saw Jesus for 40 days after his resurrection. You can read about the resurrected Jesus and how he appeared to the apostles in the first chapter of Acts. Peter knew what he was talking about when he wrote about the sure word of prophecy, as it states in the King James Version. Turn in your Bible to 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, my friends, Bible prophecy is certain, and Bible prophecy reveals that God will judge the nations for their wickedness and their evil. But Almighty God is now giving the nations and their peoples time to repent and change. Some critics sneer at His warning to us, but God is patient. Why? Let's read the answer in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. People forget God's judgment on the evil world of Noah's day. As it says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And how else did God judge evil cities? Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. How many today live in sexual perversion and evil? My friends, there are many cities and nations headed for judgment and destruction. But what about you? Can you escape God's judgments on the world? Read 2 Peter 2 and verse 7. Notice that God delivered Abraham's nephew Lot from the fiery destruction of Sodom. 2 Peter 2 verse 7. God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. My friends, that same filthy conduct virtually permeates the internet and cable television today. Do you resist those temptations? Do you desire God's kingdom to come and to judge this evil? You know, it tells us in Ezekiel 9, verse 4, that God protects those who abhor such evil, who sigh and cry over the abominations. God does control the future, and He will bring punishment on our Western nations unless we wholeheartedly repent and turn to Him. God delivered righteous Lot from destruction, and He can do the same for you. Notice verse 9 of 2 Peter 2. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Yes, God can deliver you out of temptations if you deeply want Him to. That's why some prophecies are conditional. If we repent and change our ways, God will not bring upon us the prophesied punishment. But He is now warning the nations through the gospel to repent and change. Our free booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs, will help you know what to do. This exciting booklet will help you in your study of Bible prophecy and give you encouraging news for the future. The Bible gives us promises of hope and deliverance if we take warning. This free booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs, will demonstrate to you that God not only can control the future, He will control the future for the welfare and benefit of all nations on earth. There are exciting times ahead. You need to know the prophetic trends and signs leading up to the end of this age and the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This free booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs, will help you in your study of Bible prophecy. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. Just ask for the booklet on God's intervention.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Very few people know God's true plan of salvation. Yes, it's a plan. A plan which includes awesome opportunities for the future. And God does control the future. But He's also allowing mankind to learn from his own mistakes and bitter experience. Ever since Adam and Eve made the wrong choice, God has given us all the freedom of choice. And what have the nations and peoples chosen? They have chosen to live the carnal way of human nature, the way of vanity, jealousy, lust, selfishness, and greed. But God has revealed the true way of life through His Word, the Bible. In the book of Deuteronomy, God gives this instruction to you and me and to all people on earth. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. My friends, I urge you to choose the way of life, but the world has generally chosen the way of death, the way that leads to war, pain, suffering, and destruction. Why doesn't God intervene now? Why doesn't Christ return now? Turn to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 8. The answer is that God is giving people an opportunity to repent, but that time is fast running out. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the world does not want to repent. The world does not want the true way of lasting peace. The only biblical example illustrating national repentance is found in the book of Jonah. God gave a warning to Nineveh, the capital of the ancient Assyrian Empire. Turn in your Bible to the 3rd chapter of Jonah. Here is what the prophet Jonah warned. Jonah 3 and verse 4. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. As we pointed out in last week's program, this prophecy was a conditional prophecy. God would suspend his punishment if the people of Nineveh repented and changed their ways. How did the king of Nineveh and the people respond to Jonah's warning? Did they ignore it? No, they took action to humble themselves, and they repented of their wicked lifestyle and sinful civilization. Read the next verse, Jonah 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The king himself told everyone to humble himself, to fast, that is, to not eat or drink anything. Further, he told his people in verse 8, cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? My friends, here's an example, a rare example, of a nation actually taking warning from God and changing its ways. This example should witness to all of us that we also need to repent nationally and individually. God determined to destroy Nineveh unless they repented. How did God view their repentance? Jonah 3 and verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. In this case, the prophetic warning resulted in God's blessing on the people. This, my friends, was a conditional prophecy. This prophecy was conditioned on the people's response. Will we respond to today's prophetic warnings as Nineveh did? I pray that we will. But if our Western nations do not repent of their anti-God ways, the prophesied punishment will surely be upon us. On today's program, we've seen how God intervenes in world events. He is in control of the future. His coming kingdom is guaranteed. His ultimate intervention will bring joyous, lasting peace to planet Earth. I hope you're praying, Thy kingdom come. There are many more Bible prophecies that we didn't have time to cover. So be sure to request our free booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. We live in dangerous times. You need to know how to cope in today's world and look forward to the good news of tomorrow's world. Be sure to join us every week on Tomorrow's World and be watching world news in the light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Meredith and I will continue to share with you the exciting end time prophecies and their meaning and the good news of God's coming kingdom. So be sure to join us again next week right here at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. Church of God.